Turn with me, please, if you have a Bible with you tonight, to the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 37. If you open your Bible right in the middle, you're sure to be near it. Prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 37, verse 16. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days, then Zedekiah the king sent, Jeremiah 37 and 17, then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out. And the king asked him secretly in his house and said, "Is there any word from the Lord?" I want you to think of that question. Is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, "There is." That will suffice for our reading, and I know that God will bless the reading of His Word to every heart here this evening. The Holy Spirit of God has laid this question upon my mind throughout the day. It will be easily remembered, and we do trust that He who inspired the Word of God and has preserved it to us, that He will bury this question in the heart of everyone that is here this evening. Is there any word from the Lord? And the answer of Jeremiah long ago to King Zedekiah was, there is a word from the Lord. If I were asked what is the greatest need of this company tonight, the greatest need of the city of Toronto, and the greatest need of the world, I would say it is to hear a word from the Lord. To hear a message from God Himself. Now, is there a message tonight? Is there a reliable message from the Lord for 1978 for people assembled in an auditorium like this? The word of man will pass away. The words of politicians will fade. The words of the greatest orators will soon be forgotten. But a word from the Lord will endure forever. And tonight I trust that you will recognize that what we are preaching is a word from the Lord. Where can we get a word from the Lord today? We can only get it from one source. And that is this grand old book. There's no book like this in the universe for many reasons. It's a unique book. We have it in our mother tongue, but man died that we might have it. And I like the words of Gladstone when he said, "It is the impregnable rock of Holy Scripture." 40 men were chosen by God Himself to write the Bible. The first man was a shepherd. The last man was a fisherman. They were separated by 1600 years. They had no collusion as far as being together in conference was concerned. And yet the ordinary reader can see that I can't understand the writings of John, who put 5 books at the end of the Bible. I can't comprehend the writings of John without understanding the 5 books that Moses wrote at the beginning of the Bible. The Savior said, "Moses wrote of me." And it's true of John, the last writer. He wrote of Christ. Man wrote in caves. One by the river Kibar, dungeons and deserts. And we have this book in our mother tongue, grand old Bible. We stand here tonight four square for the verbal, divinely inspired Word of God, God's guidebook. Galileo the astronomer once said, "The Bible is not given to us to show us how the heavens go, but the Bible is given to us to show us how we can go to heaven." There are many difficult things in this book. There are many truths that are hard to understand. But there is one truth that is written in large letters throughout the Bible. And what is it? The message of salvation. How a sinner on earth, bound for eternity, can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that I'm going to heaven for all eternity. And that's the grand object that we have in view in preaching here. Is there a word from the Lord? There is. Now in an audience like this, this vast company tonight, we have no way of knowing the different conditions of heart that will be present and the different needs of many peoples that will be assembled of all kinds and of all origins and of different tongues and from many races in this cosmopolitan city where we live. But I know this, that the Holy Spirit who inspired the Bible is able to suit a message to every individual that is here. And I trust tonight that our word from the Scriptures and the word of the Lord that you shall listen to, that it might find you out in this audience tonight, and that you might feel that God is speaking to me as an individual. Is there any word from the Lord? There is. Now I'm going to mention a number of people that are likely to be present here tonight, a number of conditions, and we are going to see if there's any message for those individuals from the Lord. There are many believers in this company, many Christian people, and the Christians are divided into two kinds as far as heaven is concerned. There are those Christians that are going on well for God. And I may say that in this age in which we live, a bright, confessing Christian is of great value to the testimony. But there are many other Christians, and I fear that they are in a backslidden condition. Backsliders are in great numbers in 1978. There are some that are backslidden in heart, and the gospel will warm you up if you're a true believer. But there are others who have wandered far away from what they once professed. There may be some here that once sang these beautiful hymns of heaven and loved to be in the prayer meeting. And there may be some that even testified in the open air and enjoyed being with the people of God, but you drifted. You drifted away. You got into sin, into pleasure, into the things of the world. It's easy to drift. And there are many backsliders today. I know there are some that pose under the guise of being backsliders who never had eternal life to begin with. They are mere professors of Christianity, but there are genuine backsliders, and it takes as much power to see a backslider restored to God as a sinner saved for whom Christ died. This summer I had a wonderful experience in a tent down in New Jersey. One evening after that tent, a young man said to me, "As a result of listening to the gospel, I have found my way back to Christ, and I have returned to Him whom I used to love and serve." That young man was a well-known doctor in the city of Cherry Hill with a large practice. And what a wonderful thing to see him restored to the God that he used to love, Friend, I hope that every backslider here will be restored to Christ. The Savior said long ago to the Ephesian church, "Thou didst leave thy first love." Tell me tonight, you used to be happy in the love of God. Tears filled your eyes when you thought of Calvary. But you're not enjoying salvation. You've lost your song. If every Christian in this vast auditorium was restored to the joy of salvation, I believe the whole district could be moved for God and for eternity. Revival has to begin with me as an individual. Is there any word from the Lord for a backslider tonight? Maybe there's one here and you're saying, "Yes, I used to be happy, but I got away, and I'm far from the enjoyment of God, and the Bible is a closed book, and I don't pray anymore, and I'm not enjoying the Lord Jesus, who loved me, and the coming of the Lord that's very near. I'm not thinking about it." Oh, how the world can steal us away from Christ. Is there any word from the Lord? Jeremiah 3:22 is the word that's on my mind. "Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal thy backsliding." And the answer is, "Behold, thou art our God, we come to thee." Wonder tonight, will a backslider come and weep his way back to Calvary? "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." May God grant it. But there is another class that will be in our gospel meeting tonight, not only backslidden children of God, but I believe that in this company there are religious people, men with religion. We have met them already. People who are depending upon churchianity, depending upon their baptism to take them to heaven. Sincere people who read the Bible carefully, but they are depending upon works of their own and upon a life of their own to take them to heaven. There are many tonight in this city of Toronto. It's a city of churches, a city of religion. It's a city of Bibles. When I was a boy in the old country, my aunt emigrated to Canada, to the city of Toronto, and I remember when she came home, she said, "Toronto the good, the city of Bibles." But today, while there are many churches and many Bibles in the city of Toronto, there are many people depending upon a religion to take them to heaven. We are not here to get you to change from one religion to another. All the religions in Christendom could never save a soul. And all the water that ever flowed in all the baptismal fonts of Christendom can never wash away a guilty stain or take a soul to the glory. Are you here tonight, a religious man, a deacon in the church, a Sunday school teacher perhaps, in the place where you go, whether it be a hall or cathedral, chapel or church, I don't care what the name may be, you could be there following religion and depending upon religion to take you to heaven. There was a man came to Jesus by night in John chapter 3. He was more religious than anyone in the city of Toronto. He was the rabbi, the chief rabbi of the Jews. The Savior said, "Art thou the master of Israel?" That word is in the definite article in the original text. "Art thou the master of Israel?" He was the archbishop, if I may so use the term, of Jewry. Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, full of religion. A member of the sacred 70 Sanhedrin. A man who could repeat the Old Testament scriptures from the Pentateuch to Malachi. A man who was upright in his life. Self-righteous. When he came to the Lord Jesus by night, the Savior said to him, "Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God? Nicodemus was amazed. He marveled. The Savior said in John 3:7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Friend, tonight our company is divided into two groups. Those who have one birthday, a physical birthday, a natural birthday. When you entered into the world, you received physical life to live in this world. And God holds that life in your very nostrils tonight. God, in whose hand thy breath is, he gave you one birthday. You are born into the world. But if ever you're going to be in heaven tonight, if ever you're going to enter into the kingdom of God in this life, and heaven at the end of the road, there must be a second birth, a new birth, a heavenly birth, a birth from above. To Nicodemus he said, ye must be born again. The old hymn puts it, you must be born again, or never enter heaven. 'Tis only blood-washed ones are there, the ransomed, unforgiven. Tell me, have you two birthdays in the year that you celebrate? Are you one of those who has a second birth? Can you go back to a time when, a place where, and a manner how, as a lost, needy sinner, dead in trespasses and in sins, Ephesians 2, when you found out I'm lost, and if I die as I am with all my religion, I'll perish with the drunkard in the lake of fire, I need a heavenly birth. I must be born again, or never enter heaven. Is there any word from the Lord tonight to a religious man here, or woman, boy, or girl, who has never had the new birth? The Savior said, listen to it, here's the word from the Lord, ye must be born again. It's imperative. Doesn't say you may be, if you so choose, but ye must be born again. There's a word from the Lord. But in this gathering, not only will there be backslidden children of God and religious sinners depending upon some religion to take them to heaven, but there will also be in this company, and I think there are some here, who are simply worldly people who are living only for time and for this world. All your interests heretofore have been 100% with the material world that we find ourselves in. The affluent society, the society of 1978, with all its modern gadgets and with all its comforts, with its automobiles and its warmth in the winter and its cool in the summer, with all the wonderful things that God has blessed us with, to be enjoyed tonight. Alas, men have set their heart on material things. And there are those tonight who are living only for this world and for the pleasures that are in this world and for the advantages that are to be found in this world and to make money in this world. Some are up early in the morning and they work till late at night. They have no time to come to these meetings. Why? Business has enraptured them. The ties of the world have bound them. And they're living for the world tonight. We can't go out of the world. We have to live in it and make our way through it. But God wants us to set our affection upon another place, upon the city that is yet to come. Is there any word from the Lord to some worldly businessman that has dropped in here tonight? You've seen the advertisement. Is there a word for that prosperous man in the world that has made it here, but you have nothing up yonder yet, no treasure in the bank above, and no home when life has passed? Is there a word for you? There is. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. And I'm thinking of that solemn parable of the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 12, when He spake of a certain rich man whose ground brought forth plentifully. And as he considered the condition of things and the harvest coming, he said, "What shall I do? I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my goods and my fruits, and I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years." Maybe tonight as you look into the future, you say, "Everything's well. I have taken care of my family, and I have taken care of all the different responsibilities that I face in life. And I'm able to retire now and take it easy for the rest of my life." Isn't it amazing how many men that are successful in business and have reached retirement age, and suddenly we hear that they're left the world and they're gone over into eternity. Man, tonight God said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be that thou hast provided? You have insured for everything here, for fire and death, and you have insured against loss and injury. But oh, let me ask you tonight, have you any hope for the world to come? Here we are in this auditorium, moving onward to eternity. It's going to be heaven or hell when the journey's done. No purgatory in the Bible, no third place. 5 minutes after you leave the body, you'll be in the glory with Christ, or in the gloom without Him forever. Where will you spend eternity?" It's a moving thing to think of it tonight. There's a word from the Lord tonight. "Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, death may come, or the Lord may come. Now is the time." But in a company like this, there are many young people. I'm touched when I look into the faces of so many young people that attend these gatherings every night. Indeed, I suppose that the greatest number that come are in the young group. And I think of them, and we are praying every day that these boys and girls, living in a world of sin that we knew nothing about, even when we were teenagers, the world was always a vile place, but it was more covered up than it is now. We have arrived in an age of moral declension. We have arrived in a generation that knoweth not God or the fear of God. The old-fashioned Lord's Day is no longer here. We are living in an age of violence and sin, and an age of selfishness. Every man doing what is right in his own eyes. The attitude of the young today is rebellion to all government, whether in the home or in the college or in the world. The overthrow of government today and anarchy. The spirit of the world and the spirit of the age is conducive to the damnation of our young people. You'll never be able to make it through life, young man, without Christ. You children will never make it through this evil generation without the Savior. And the time to be saved is while you're young, even before you reach your teens. Or in your early teens, the time to come is before the world has got a hold upon you, and before the dreadful drug traffic gets a hold upon you, and before alcohol gets a hold upon you, and before the sinful things that are staged in the world tonight, in the television and movie theaters and so on, before they become binders upon you. The time to be saved is while you're young tonight. Is there any word from the Lord? There is. Listen. "They that seek me early shall find me." Listen to it. Ecclesiastes 12:1. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Joseph wore the coat of many colors when he was 17. I love to see a boy of 17 with God's salvation upon him as a robe. How delightful to see a girl of 12, like the daughter of Jairus, raised from the dead with an appetite for the Word of God. And there are children at 12 years of age that we have met in recent times who were truly born of the Spirit, and even younger. How delightful to see these young men coming down here to Usher tonight who have given their heart and life to the Savior, and they're interested tonight in these gospel meetings. It's thrilled my heart every night to see the youth coming here to assist in the work of God and to pray in the prayer meetings. But there are many young people here, and you have no Savior tonight. Yes, you've professed the Savior, perhaps, but there's no reality. You made a profession when you were a child, but it has never changed your life or conduct or condition. And tonight our hearts are moved in this auditorium that these young lives might be won to the man in the glory. You might come to Christ. I came when I was a boy of 19, in the very prime of my youth, having tasted the world in measure and seen its iniquitous ways. As a young fellow in World War II, living in prodigal ways far from God. But there came a day in my life, as a boy of 19, when I knelt at the cross as a penitent, and I said, Lord Jesus, I need Thee, and I want Thee to be mine. And I received Him as my own personal Savior, and His death to have made the atonement for my sin. I confessed Him before my fellow men and sought to follow Him, if but feebly, in the path. For as we look back, we can see how poorly we have followed Him at the best. But I'm thankful that I gave all my life to Him who first loved me upon the cross. Oh, tonight, is there a boy here who will say, yes, I feel that God is calling me in the Minkler Auditorium and I need Christ, and I'm going to come as a lost sinner and have it settled tonight? Is there a teenager here and you've been wandering already, getting away from the restraint of things and away in rebellion from God tonight? Like the prodigal, you're turning your face to the far country. Young man, tonight, God is calling you in this auditorium to come to the Savior and to receive Him for time and for eternity. Is there a word from the Lord for an anxious soul that may be here? I trust there's someone has come with a burden tonight. Not out of curiosity, but you've heard this gospel preaching, the pure gospel. Honestly, we're not here with any political aim. I never was in a polling booth in my life. We are not here tonight to build up an organization. We are not here tonight to add to any society on earth, God knows. The thing that is before us is the big thing. What is it? That some soul will turn up in heaven at last, saved as a result of the preaching of Christ that we have sought to do in this place, to honor the man and the glory and to exalt the Christ of Calvary who shed His blood. Is there an anxious soul here tonight and your cry is like the jailer, what must I do to be saved? Here's the answer from the book. Is there a word from the Lord? Yes, there is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever you may be tonight, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. May it be yours tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus.